one, and I have it here in my notepad, and I wrote that one down. And it was a powerful message, amen. I came out of Jeremiah 29:11, amen. And I gave 4 points on why, you know, do you turn this on? Yeah, are you turning? I don't have to turn it on, right? Okay, because sometimes I'm like, do I have to turn that thing on? They record the message. It, listen, you can if you want to hear our preachings during the week, you can, we're on Podbean. You can look us up on Podbean, right? Podbean. And then also on YouTube. Amen. So they post them on the YouTube channel, the VOGP YouTube channel, and the VOGP Podbean channel. And you could, you on the Podbean, you can just stick your earphones in your ear and hear it. Hear the message. On YouTube, you can watch the message. Amen. So if you ever miss me during the week... Okay, only my wife laughed. Amen. But if you ever miss me during the week, amen, then you could tune in. Amen. If you need to pick me up, amen, a pick me up. You need a faith boost during the week, then tune in to our YouTube channel or to our Podbean, and you can get the word during the week. Amen. How many know you can't wait till next Friday? Amen. Sundays are far off. Amen. So you can listen to us. Amen. And I know you probably listen to other preachers. Amen. But you know they don't preach like me. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. They sugarcoat it too much. No, I'm just kidding.
Come on, Pastor.
So you can tune in. Amen. But we had a great time Friday. Amen. I gave 4 points on why God's plan is best. Right? Who remembers those? Amen. It's God's plan is best because His plan is to prosper us. Number two, not to harm us. Number three, to give us hope. And number four, to give us a future.
Right.
That sounds like a good plan to me.
Amen.
So that message on Friday was God's great plan for you personally. But this morning, I want to share with you God's great plan for the world. For the world. Now, it still has to deal with you personally, though. So in essence, you have to like put these two messages together. But if you miss Fridays, it's all right because you can listen to it online. Amen. But it's okay because this message is different. Amen. So I want to share it with you this morning. Acts chapter 25, verse 23. We're going to read about a chapter and a half here this morning. So bear with me. Amen. You go ahead and be seated too. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. We usually have you stand, but I'm going to be doing a good amount of reading. So I'm just going to go ahead and let you sit down. Amen. I'll stand for you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Acts chapter 25, verse 23. Are you ready?
Amen.
And can we be disciplined?
Amen.
Can we be a disciplined church, disciplined Amen. Congregation? Amen. Let's try to limit the moving around. Amen. You know, I know if you got to go to the restroom. I mean, you know, when you go to the movies, you don't get up and go.
Oh, hello.
You hold it like, oh, I don't want to miss the next part. Come on, somebody. Amen. You got to look at it like the movies. Amen. This is why I try my best to be funny and try to act for you guys. Amen. So don't miss anything. Amen. You know, because it's a distraction. It's a distraction to other people. Because you know what happens when people get up? Everybody's heads go like this.
Yeah.
And they follow you all the way to the door. Amen. You know, and you know, so we don't want to be a distraction to people. And it's also a distraction to the preacher sometimes. Because then I see them get up walking up. I'm like, what did I say that was wrong? My God, come on, somebody.
Yeah.
You got me going through trials while I'm preaching. Amen. So, you know, help me out this morning. Can you do that?
Amen.
I'll try to hurry up. Amen. Because I know the Cowboys are playing. Hello, somebody. Amen. So I'll try to get you out by 12:30. Amen. I ain't going to make no promises. Because I got to let Him have His way. Amen. So you ready? Let's go. Acts chapter 25, verse 23. It says, the next day, Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp. Have you ever seen anybody come with great pomp?
No, I don't even know what pomp is.
Flashy. That's pomp. They came with great pomp and entered the audience room with the high-ranking military officers and their prominent men of the city. At the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. Festus said, King Agrippa and all who are present with us, you see this man, pointing to Paul, The whole Jewish community has petitioned me about him in Jerusalem and here in Caesarea, shouting that he ought not to live any longer. He don't deserve to live. But I found he had done nothing deserving of death. But because he made his appeal to the emperor, I decided to send him to Rome. I'm in a cave, sound man, so if you can fix that. But I have nothing definite to write to his majesty about him. Therefore, I have brought him before all of you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that as a result of this investigation, I may have something to write. For I think it is unreasonable to send a prisoner onto Rome without specifying the charges against him. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourselves." So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate." Let's fix that. Let's fix that little echo, please. He says, "I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews. And especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs." Good job. It worked. "Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jewish people all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that I conform to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from the synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.'" Verse 19. "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven." Father, bless the reading of your word, anointed to our hearts this morning. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Mankind, with the help from the devil, messed up the world. We messed up the world.
That's right.
Now, here in this chapter that I read to you, we see the Apostle Paul, or Saul, the Apostle Paul now, He's in jail. He's in prison. He's locked up. When you study the scriptures, you see that Paul had the opportunity to be set free.
Come on.
Because the police officer who arrested him could not find any reason to arrest him for. The people were saying he deserves to die, so kill him, put him to death. But the police officer, the judge that was over his case, they said, we don't find no basis to put him to death for. There's no reason that we find for us to put him to death. Just, we can't do it just because you say so. But the people, there were so many of them that were shouting, kill him, do away with him, get rid of him, that they were starting a riot in the city. Paul, what he did, when the police officer came up to him and said, you know what, we're going to let you go because there's no basis for us to keep you. He said, I object.
Come on, wow.
I object of you letting me go. I want to see the emperor. I want to take it all the way to the top. Because you arrested me without cause. So he made his appeal to Caesar. Now, as a Roman citizen, Paul was a Roman citizen. He was a Jew, but he was a Roman citizen. Rome at that time controlled the known world. They controlled that area. And whenever a Roman citizen appealed to Caesar, he had the right as a Roman citizen to make those that arrested him to bring them before Caesar so that he could tell his cause to Caesar. He was just taking his rights. Amen. If it would have been me, I would have took the get out of jail free card.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, somebody. Huh? Right? But not Paul. Paul says, you know what? I object to you setting me free. Matter of fact, I want to go before Caesar. I want to go before Caesar. Paul's whole plan, Paul's whole thing is that he wanted to preach to Caesar.
Amen.
Huh? He wanted the head enchilada.
Wow.
He wanted to preach to the main man. The metal. Because he knew that, listen, if I can get the metal saved, I can get the whole gang saved. Huh? If I can get the king saved, I can get the nation saved. See, Paul's heart was to see people saved.
Come on now.
See people saved. That's God's heart, is to see the world saved. That's God's great plan, is to see the world saved. Man messed up the world. We see that when we read Genesis. We see man and the devil together made the world an evil, dark, murderous, greedy, envious and immoral place. When you study the book of Genesis, that's what you find. Right from the beginning, man got to work. I mean, man will mess things up in a minute. But when I talk about man, I'm not just talking about a man. I'm talking about man and a woman. I'm talking about mankind. Huh? And in the first book, we messed up the world.
Right.
With a little bit of help of Satan, the little bit of help of the devil, we messed up the world. See, this is how my life was. With the help of Satan, I made my life messed up. With the help of Satan, I made my life evil, envious, murderous, greed, and immoral. I made my life like that. How many of you did the same thing? Don't raise your hand. But I thank God that God always has a plan.
Amen.
I thank God God always has a plan. Because the Bible says, for where sin abounds, the grace of God abounds even more. God had a plan in Genesis. And God has a plan today. God had a plan for my life, and God has a plan for your life. God has a great plan for the world. Even though man has messed up the world, even today we kind of live in a messed up world. Sometimes we, you know, living here in America, I mean, we see how things are messed up here. But listen, we have it a lot better than compared to other countries and other nations.
Right, man.
And other continents. But even in the midst of all the messed upness, God still has a plan.
That's right.
And the plan is to save mankind. So this morning, I want to give you three components that are always in God's plan. Three components, real simple, that are always in God's plan. The first component that is always in God's plan is a man. A man. Meaning a male or female. Whenever God comes up with a plan, he always thinks of a man. Whenever there's a plan of God somewhere, you better believe it that there's a man in the center of that plan.
Wow. Amen.
We see Jesus here in the book of Acts, in the chapter we read. We see Jesus called Saul.
Right.
He called Saul first to himself to be saved. Amen. Then he calls him into the ministry. We hear Paul give his testimony to King Agrippa. Mm-hmm. King Agrippa, this is what's happening. I was on my way to persecute some Christians because I was just like those that are accusing me, those that want to kill me. I used to be like them. I used to want to kill Christians too. I was just like them. I was zealous like them. I hated the Christians too. And he started to give his testimony how he was on the way to persecute some more Christians. And then at noon in the middle of the day, when the sun's bright and shining, He said he's seen a light brighter than the sun.
Wow.
That's when you know it's God.
Right.
Huh? He's seen a light brighter than the sun. And Jesus all of a sudden spoke to him, knocked him off his high horse, and spoke to him. It says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He says, who are you, Lord? I don't even know who you are. He says, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. I'm that Christian. I'm that one that you've been persecuted. You've been persecuting my people. And when you persecute them, it's like you're persecuting me. Paul, you know, it seemed like the very least to be picked for such a task. God called him to salvation, but then he called him into the ministry. He says, I'm going to save you, and you're going to reach other people. You're going to bring light to dark places. You're going to open up the eyes to those that are blind to my salvation.
Good.
We see that Saul seemed like the very least to be picked for such a task. Because he was opposite. He was quite the opposite of a Christian. He was persecuting Christians. God always looks for a man for his plan. Now, what type of man was Saul? What type of man was Saul? I want you to know that Paul, right now, he became the man of the hour.
Right.
At that time, Paul became the man of the hour. You could become the next man of the hour. I believe that there's people in this room that you're the next man of the hour that God is calling you. You're the next man of the hour for your family. You're the next man of the hour for your community. You're the next man of the hour for the ministry. You're the next man of the hour for the world. Because God wants to use you to start a revival in your city, in your community, in your home. God is looking for a man because he has a plan. Paul became the man of the hour at this time. You could be next. So what type of man was Paul? What type of man was Saul that God chose him for his plan? The Bible says that in Philippians 3 verse 5 that he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Hebrew of Hebrews, of the strictest kind. In other words, a Pharisee was a religious teacher of the time. And it says he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was like a teacher of teachers. Of the strictest kind. So in other words, Paul was disciplined. He was a disciplined man. And this was before he even gave his life to Jesus. This was before he even had an encounter with Jesus. He was a disciplined man. In his spiritual disciplines, he read the Torah. He read the Old Testament, the five books of Moses. He studied it. He memorized it. He was a disciplined man.
Right.
He was also a committed man. He was committed to his cause. He says, you know what? I'm not going to let these Christians ruin our Judaism. I'm not going to let these Christians ruin our religion. Because that's how the Jews looked at it. They looked at the Christians as ruining their religion, what they were doing, their church. But Paul was so committed. He says, I'm not going to let them ruin my religion, my church. So therefore, I'm going to persecute them. I'm going to do everything in my power to stop them. He was a committed man. He was a radical person. He was radical. You know what he did? He went to the leaders. He says, you know what? Give me permission to go arrest these dudes. Give me permission. I think it's this speaker right here. You just cut it off.
It's the drum.
Give me permission to kill them. He was radical. It reminds me of the testimony of Art Blockos. Art Blockos he's an evangelist in our ministry.
Yeah.
He used to be a hitman. He was a hitman for the Mexican mafia. He was on death row. God saved him on death row.
Wow.
Amen.
God saved him. You know who he used a dope fiend to preach to yeah. to Art Blockos.
Yeah.
Art Blockos gave his life to Jesus.
Amen.
The guy was shooting dope and telling Art Blockos about Jesus. And then he started telling him about Victory Outreach. And then Art Blockos was supposed to kill him.
Yeah.
He was supposed to kill him. His name was on the list to be whacked. We know the story. We've seen the drama, right? It was time for them to take a shower. That was the time that Art Blockos was gonna kill him. But after that dope fiend had preached to Art Blockos, the power of God had touched his heart.
Amen.
And Art Blockos couldn't realize why he was tearing up. He was a hardened murderer. He murdered so many people for the Mexican mafia. And when he came out for his shower, he was supposed to kill this man. But the Holy Spirit didn't let him. Today he travels the world evangelizing, winning souls.
Amen, amen, amen.
One time when he got paroled out of prison, after doing so many years, he went to a party and he went straight to the leader of the gang. He says, show me the list of those who are out here in the free world that need to be killed. He didn't say, pass me the women or let's have a party. He came and he says, I want the list of those that need to be killed that did our gang dirty. He was committed to his gang. He was committed to his gang. Just like some of you, you were committed to the streets. Maybe you were committed to a gang. Maybe you were committed to something else, but you were committed to the wrong thing. This is the type of man Paul was. Listen, he wasn't a dope fiend. He wasn't a drug addict. He was none of those stuff. Just like some of you, you were not a drug addict probably. But maybe you were committed to the wrong thing. Can we fix it? No, we can't fix it. I don't know what it is. Leave us. I mean, I'm sorry, guys. But it's just a little bothering. He was committed to the wrong thing. This is what he was before Jesus. Before he even met Jesus, this is what he was. He was disciplined, he was committed, and he was radical even before he met Jesus. It reminds me of my life. Before I met Jesus, I was committed to the gangs. I would do some crazy stuff for the gangs. Thank you, that worked a lot. I would do crazy stuff for my neighborhood. Because I was committed to that neighborhood. We'd go out and do drive-bys. We'd go out and do shootings. We'd get shot at. We'd go into the midst of a rival neighborhood, knowing that it was dangerous. But we did it because we were committed to it. I put my life on the line to sell drugs. I put my family on the line to sell drugs. I would do things that would probably cause me to probably spend time in prison. But it was because I was committed. But I was committed to the wrong thing. Amen. Some of you, you're probably here and you're committed to the wrong thing. I see couples together and they're committed, but they're not even married. And they're miserable. She's committed to the wrong thing. He's committed to a wrong thing. But you know what? It's okay because God could use that. If he used it in Paul's life, he could use it in your life. All he has to do is he has to change it. And your commitment has to change. Your radicalness has to change. Your discipline. Listen, some of you were disciplined, but you weren't disciplined in spiritual disciplines. You were disciplined to go to the connection house every day. You were disciplined to steal every day. Come on, somebody. Every day you were disciplined to hustle. See, we had discipline, but our discipline was put in the wrong place.
Right.
Some people today, they're disciplined. You know, they're disciplined to be on their phone all day.
Yeah.
Huh? God wants to change that discipline.
Right.
He can change it.
Yes.
For his honor and for his glory. This is what Paul was before Christ came into his life. But after Christ came into his life, you know what he became? He became a loving man.
Right.
He became a compassionate man.
Yes, yes.
See, God wants to take that discipline. He wants to take that commitment. He wants to take that radicalness and change it for him. But then he wants to add on top of it. He wants to add on top of it love and compassion. Because before, Paul didn't have no love or compassion. He hated the Christians. He stoned Stephen. He didn't care. He ripped apart families because that's what was happening. He would rip apart. He would arrest the parents and leave the kids crying right there. He was ripping apart families. He didn't have no compassion. But once God saved him, he became loving and he became compassionate. That's the type of man God is looking for. God is looking for these type of men. Men that are willing to change, to say, you know what, okay, I'm disciplined. Some men, you were so disciplined, you weren't saved, but you were disciplined to get up to go to work for your family.
Yeah.
Every morning you got up at 5 a.m., 4 a.m. to go to work for your family. But yet you weren't saved. Imagine if God saves you.
Wow.
He still wants you to get up and go to work for your family.
Right.
But he also wants you to get up and go to work for him.
Right. Right. Right.
That when you go to work, you take him with you.
Yeah.
That it's not just about clocking in. It's not just about going and putting in hours so that you can get paid. But now it's about going in, putting in hours so that you can get paid, but also to be a light at your job.
Amen.
For all those that are not saved, that don't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Now you go not just to go do your work, but you go because you have a mission on your mind. You have a mission to be a testimony, to share a scripture, to share a word, to share your testimony.
Amen.
Your testimony has power.
Yes. Yeah, right. That's right.
Paul, what did he do to King Agrippa? He just gave him his testimony.
Yeah,
he said, let me tell you my story. Let me tell you how Jesus reached me. One day, I was on my way to do no Jesus spoke to me, and ever since then, I've never been the same. What is your testimony? Don't ever forget your testimony. Some Christians have buried their testimony. You've been saved so long. You don't even remember your testimony. Because you first stopped telling your testimony.
Wow.
When you stop telling it, you'll forget it.
That's right.
I suggest you get with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You get into some prayer and you remember the day that God saved you, the day that God reached you, and start sharing that with people. I don't care. If it doesn't get old, my friend. Start sharing it with people because people got to hear your story. Why? Because you're the man of the hour. You're the woman of the hour. If you got Jesus in your life, you're the man that God has chosen for your household, for your job, for your community, for your children, for your nieces and your nephews. They need a hear your testimony. Your neighbors need to hear your testimony. The person at Walmart needs to hear your testimony.
Amen.
God's great plan, he looks for a man.
Good.
Not only did Paul become loving and compassionate, he became forgiving. God is looking for men, for mankind to carry out his plan. And let me tell you something. He just don't look for perfect men. He just don't look for perfect men. Quit trying to be perfect. Quit trying to be perfect. You don't need to be perfect.
Come on now.
There's nobody that's perfect. Quit trying to look for a perfect church.
Come on now.
You seen we got flaws.
Yeah.
Our sound acts up. Pastor acts up. Come on, somebody. Huh? People act up.
Right.
Ain't no perfect church. You ain't gonna find a perfect church. And if you do find it, and you join it, you mess it up for everybody else. Because now it ain't perfect no more. I used to tell my church back in the days, it's a funny story, I'm not saying this about you, but I used to say, I ain't worried about a pastor stealing my sheep. Because that pastor's just going to bring that sheep back. Fighting everybody at my church. We've grown though, amen. God is looking for men to carry out his plan.
Amen.
But he just don't look for perfect men.
Amen.
When he needed to build an ark to preserve life on earth, he raised up Noah, who became a drunk. When he needed to save Jews from Egypt, he raised up Moses, who had an anger problem and stuttered when he talked. When he needed a king to rule Israel, he raised up David, who backslid and became an adulterer and a murderer. When he needed a judge for Israel, he raised up Samson, a womanizer. When Jesus needed a team, he picked Judas, who would betray him, Peter, who would disown him, and Thomas, who doubted him. But with 11 of these, minus Judas, he turned the world upside down. When God has a plan, he always raises up a man. Will you be that man? Or that woman? God used Eve to start the lineage of Christ. And she was deceived by Satan, the serpent, by a talking snake. God used Mary to birth Christ. God used Deborah to lead Israel, his people, to judge Israel, his people. God used Rahab, a prostitute, to hide the spies and become the great grandma of King David. God used Esther to save her people. God used Mary Magdalene, the woman that came, I don't know how, 12 devils?
Seven.
Seven devils? God used Mary Magdalene, who seven devils came out of her, to prepare Jesus for his burial.
Wow.
By anointing him with oil.
Yeah.
And God used the women that followed Jesus to support his and the disciples' ministry.
Wow.
Women of God. Be that woman. Be that woman. God is looking for a man. He's looking for a woman to carry out his plan. You go to some churches and they just teach you how to be blessed. They just teach you how to live joy. They just teach you how to be great. But when you come to this church, we teach you how to do something for God. What I want you to get in your spirit this morning as the piano player comes up. I want you to get this in your spirit. In God's great plan, he needs a man. He needs a woman. God is looking for a man to answer the call. When God needed somebody to come to Grand Prairie in Arlington, Texas, he raised up a man. He raised up a woman.
Hallelujah.
He raised up a couple.
Amen.
Not a perfect man, not a perfect woman. But he raised us up. Because he had a plan. You know who had a plan for? He had a plan for your life.
Hallelujah.
He had a plan for this city. He had a plan for your family.
Right.
Thank you, Lord.
Many times we just want to sit back and I'm going to go to church to be blessed. No, God wants you to come to church. Okay, he wants to bless you, but he wants you to be a blessing.
Yes.
It's good, Pastor.
But he has to change you.
Right.
Yes. He sees your commitment. He sees your radicalness. He sees all that. But he has to switch that. He says, you got to quit being so committed, you know, to your boss and to your job. Some of you are too committed to your job.
Come on now.
If your boss tells you to miss church on Sunday, you'll miss church.
Wow.
Oh, if God had a woman like that, a man like that.
Wow.
You know what? I need you to miss this family reunion so that you can go preach over here. I need you to go miss this right here so that you can go do this. I need you to miss this outing over here so that you can go pray for somebody at the hospital. I need you to miss this so that you can be at a drama practice. I need you so you can be involved in ministry, so that you can be at this discipleship, so that you can learn, so that I can fill you. Because I have a plan for your life. I want to raise you up to do something great, because there's a lost and there's a hurting world. And I need men and women to prepare themselves and equip themselves.
Amen.
Because I got a city with their name on it.
Amen.
I got a ministry with their name on it. When God has a plan, he raises up a man.
Wow.
And in this story, that man was Saul. Paul. The least likely, persecuting the church. God has a sense of humor. He chooses the foolish things of the world. He chooses the unlike. He chooses the black sheep of the family.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I think I'm the only one in my family that didn't graduate high school. I think I'm the only one in my family that, you know, that really like joined gangs and gangbanged. That did heavy drugs. They probably looked at me and says, he ain't ever gonna amount to nothing.
That's right.
He's gonna be in prison for life.
Come on, Beth.
But God has a sense of humor.
Amen.
God is able to look at those people that the world says, they'll never be anything. Even those Victory Outreach people, what are they trying to do on Main Street?
Yeah.
What are they doing going there every Sunday?
Woo.
You see the type of people that go in that place?
Yeah.
I remember they were on drugs. They probably still are. And there they are going to church.
Come on, Pastor.
They still look the same to me. They still look like they're gangbanging to me. Huh? God chooses the foolish things of the world.
Thank you, Lord.
Even Paul, even the church was afraid when Paul got saved. He said he went to the church. Hey, I'm a Christian now. I gave my life. Jesus appeared to me. They were all like, stand back. He's going to kill us. Stay away from him. He might take us to jail. Get away. Get away, you. You're lying. You're just trying to infiltrate our church. Even the church didn't believe him at the beginning. You know, listen, this is why sometimes even coming to church is a little hard. I know it's a little hard. Sometimes that's normal. Because God has done something radical in your life.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
But you don't give up, because Paul didn't give up.
That's right.
If anybody could have gave up, it would have been Paul, because the church didn't even receive Paul.
Come on.
Wow.
And sometimes new people, you may feel like that. Like, man, I don't know if I fit in. You know, nobody really talks to me. You don't give up. Paul didn't give up. Because listen, if you give up, how do you know that you're not the next Paul? You may have all these excuses on why not, it can't be you. Oh, I don't know the Bible. And you know, I'm afraid to talk before people. And all these different excuses.
Wow.
But if anybody could have had an excuse, it could have been Saul. I say Saul and Paul because his name was Saul, but then God changed his name to Paul.
Right.
But Saul didn't allow those things to hold him back. He says, you know what, if God appeared to me, then I'm just going to surrender to God.
Right.
And this man that surrendered to God, because of him, let me tell you something, he wrote most of the New Testament in our Bible.
That's right.
You never know what God can do to your life, through your life, if you surrender your heart to God.
Thank you, Lord.
So this morning, I pray that you surrender your heart to God. God is looking for a man. He's looking for a woman. It doesn't matter how old you are. You may be young. David was a young boy when God started to use him and started to call him into the ministry.
Wow.
It doesn't matter how old you are. Caleb. He was old. He was in his 80s, 90s. But yet he still came up to Moses and he said, Moses, give me my mountain.
Come on.
Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how young you are. Doesn't matter what you know, what you don't know. God is just looking for a man who's available.
That's right.
Amen.
A woman who's available.
That's good, Pastor.
To say like Paul, I surrender. I'm tired of kicking against the goats. The first thing that God needs in his plan is he needs a man. He needs a woman. I want you to stand to your feet.
Amen.
Next Sunday, I'll give you the next two things that are very important. I think that you need to chew on this week.
Yes.
To be that man, to be that woman. Think about your testimony. Think about your story, how God brought you in.
Amen.
Think about that. Chew on that this week. Maybe today's your day to give your life to Christ. Maybe today is the day that you're going to stop running from God. You're going to stop fighting God, and you're going to surrender your heart to the Lord.
Amen.
Every head bowed. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray this morning that you would search every heart. Lord, if there's a Jonah in the building, spit him out. Let them surrender to you. If you're here this morning, you've been running from God. You've been running from God. But you hear God calling you here this morning. He's calling you to him. Only if you've been running from God. If you're not running from God, then don't come. But if you've been running from God, you're a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, I want you to come to this altar. Give your life to Jesus. If that's you here this morning, you've been running from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're a woman. You've been running from God. Come. It's time to stop running. I want the leaders to come pray. Church, I want you to stretch your hand.
Pray for them. Pray for your brothers. Pray for your sisters. Say this prayer. Say, Jesus. Say, Jesus. Here I am. I'm not going to run from you. Today, I surrender my life to you. Today, I'm going to be that man you call me to be. I surrender my heart to you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This morning, if you're here and you know that you're called, you know that God's called you, you know that you're that man, you know that you're that woman, you know that He has a plan for your life, then I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God will continue to use you and raise you up. If you're here this morning and you know that you have a calling upon your life, I want you to get out of your seat and come to this altar. You come. You're that man. You're that woman. You're that Paul. You're that Esther. You're that Mary Magdalene. You're that David. You're that Moses. And I want you to come. Maybe you're a couple and you feel that you know that God called you as a couple. I want you to come. I want to pray for you. It's all right. You can know that you're called. And sometimes you need that more prayer because the devil is always on your bumper. And maybe the devil's been on your bumper lately. But you've been fighting. You've been fighting. He's been trying to get you to throw in the towel. The devil is alive. Lift your hands to the Lord right there where you're at. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I lift him up to you. I lift him up, God. Strengthen them. Anoint them. Confirm your calling. Confirm your calling. Bring confirmation. Remind them. If they're weary, strengthen them. Strengthen them. In the name of Jesus. Great plans. And God has a great plan for your life. great plan. The Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him.
Amen.
You haven't even imagined the things that God has prepared for you. But like I spoke on Friday, you have to surrender your plan.
That's right. Yes.
So that he can give you his plan. And the message on Friday, through the 4 points that he wants to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future.
Yes.
Listen, those things, they come as you combine the calling of God together. It's in the calling of God. When you do what God's called you to be, when you become what God called you to be, that preacher, that pastor, that minister, that missionary, that leader, that usher, that children's ministry teacher, that worship leader, that choir member, when you be what God called you to be, that's where you're going to find prosperity. That's where you're going to find no harm. That's where you're going to find hope. And that's where you're going to find a future. It's in those. It's intertwined. It's intertwined. In the plan of God for your life. I didn't know this was the plan of God. When I wasn't saved, I didn't know this is what God had for me. I didn't know I was going to become a pastor. I didn't want to become a pastor. This was far from my mind. My plan was to sell drugs. To be a gang member and a gangster for life. That was my plan, church. That was Carl's plan. That was Samir's plan. Irving's plan was to be a drug addict. Joe's plan was to be a drug addict. Pastor Josh's plan was to be a gang member. That was our plan, because you know why? We didn't see nothing greater for us. Some of your plans was to be an alcoholic, just drink, that's it. But when I gave my life to the Lord, when we gave our life to the Lord, God showed us his plan.
Amen.
His plan.
Amen.
And I took on his plan. I took on his plan. I never knew that God was going to be able to use me to touch people's lives. To touch people's lives. But look, I see lives being touched every Sunday, every Friday, every day in our homes. I see lives being touched. I know it's because of God, but I thank God that he used me. I thank God that I'm able to play a small part in touching lives. Because before, I was a big part in ruining lives. God's plan. God has a plan for you. But be that first component. Be that man. Be that woman. Father, seal this word in our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray, God, that every single one of us here will leave this place encouraged, knowing that you have chosen us. But not just encouraged, but that we will leave challenged to say, we got a big responsibility. As a man, as a woman, I got a responsibility to be that man of God, to be that woman of God. I got a responsibility now to read my Bible and to learn the Bible so that I can be that preacher. Maybe I don't know if I'm going to preach behind the pulpit, but I know that God has called me to preach to my wife, to my children, to my neighbors, and to share the word with them. So I got a big responsibility as that man that you have chosen me to be, as that woman that you've chosen me to be. So therefore, God, let me be a student. Let me be a disciple. Let me learn, God, more about you and grow in you so I can be that man. So I can be that person that you called me to be. I know I ain't perfect, God. Oh, but thank you. The good news is that you're not looking for perfect people. You're looking for willing people. And that's me. I'm willing. Are you willing, church?
Yes.
Say, Lord, I'm willing.
Lord, I'm willing.
Say, Lord, I'm willing.
Lord, I'm willing.
Say, Lord, here I am.
Lord, here I am.
Ready.
Ready.
And willing.
And willing.
Use my life.
Use my life.
As you will.
As you will.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. Give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Was anybody blessed this morning? Does anybody want to testify this morning if the Lord spoke to you? Anybody? Anybody want to testify? Sure, where? I don't see nobody. Anybody? You sure? Good? Okay. We're good. Because I like to hear testimonies. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We good? All right. Sometimes in their spirit you feel like, man, I wanna feel. Amen. You always testify, buddy. You always testify. Come on, Rick. I want different testimonies, amen. Different testimonies.
Amen.
But if you shy, it's okay. I don't mind, but
amen. Hallelujah. I just thank God, even at my older age, you know, I bumped my head many times, but God gave me a promise in the scripture a long time ago. And Brother Urban said that was the scripture that God gave to this scripture. I have not seen or ever heard what God has prepared for his people, but those that love him and call according to his purpose. And God gave me that scripture many years ago when I was young in the Lord, amen. And I thank God because that promise is going to come to pass, amen. But we're in a beautiful ministry, amen. And just keep going forward. I just encourage you, and I thank God for his mercy and his love, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Anybody else? Come on, my sister. Come on, my sister.
You know, God is good.
Put it to you.
God is good.
Amen.
God has been tugging at my heart. I've been.
Put it to you.
I got saved and gave my life to Jesus Christ in the year 1995. Me and my husband has been going back and forth with drugs. And in the year 2017, my mother passed away. Her husband passed away. And I wasn't able to go to the funeral. But God's been tugging at my heart. But then I was still struggling with drugs, going back, and God had to take me out of that situation for a minute. So I went to Virginia to be with my daughter and get to know my grandchildren that I have. I was hoping that I can restore my mother and daughter relationship with my daughter. And she just kept going things back into me in the past. And God said, you're going to have to go back to Arlington and restore your marriage and fix it. Let me deal with your marriage. Because let me deal with your daughter, because she wants to keep throwing punch. I can't heal your heart, and she keeps throwing punches at me. So I came back, but he told me on August the 3rd, he woke me up out of my, I woke up and I was, he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go back to Arlington. I want you to be homeless, to be with the homeless. I want you to go buy 5 Subway sandwiches and cut them in half. Put them in 5 bags, put some sandwiches, put some potato chips in. If you want, you can give them something sweet. So I did that. Okay, when I came here back from Virginia, I drove, God rented me, I saved up, drove me a budget, brought all my stuff back. It was in November. So it was cold, so I didn't pursue that. After that, I didn't pursue it, so it came cold. And then God, it was this winter, God said, well, didn't I give you a mission to do? And I said, yes. And I was getting ready to get cold again. Are you going to do it? I said, yes, God. So I got up. I ran into some pitfalls. I went to the 4th of July mission with the 4th of July parade, and I sat with Miss Arlington and Miss Tilly, and I was telling her what I was going to be doing, that I was going to be, that day I said, Miss Tilly, can I come and tell my testimony on Saturday? Can I sing? She said, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know, because we have an agenda, but you can sing. So my spirit got kind of hurt. So I had a pity party, and I said, oh. And then God said, well, aren't you going to go back down there? And you go back down there. So I went back down there, and I said, Miss Tilly, can I still sing? She said, yes. So I've been there for almost going on 2 months, singing on Saturday. Blessing the people. Because God opened the door for me to do that. Because I had a vision. I had a before. Amen. I saw her walking down the hall and with the lady that walks with her. And I said, well, what does that mean, God? And he said, it didn't come together, but it came together now. So I, you know, I get that every Saturday I'm there singing. And I enjoy it. And I'm glad that God is using me. I have a ministry. It's called Love One Another. But I'm getting ready to change the name to Homeless in the Heart. That's God revealed that to me, that they're home, it's homeless in the heart, because people are homeless in the heart.
Wow.
That's right. So I passed out my sandwiches.
Come on.
God gave me 10 people.
Yeah,
I gave them the word that he wanted me to give them, and that was John 10:10. And that's what he wanted me to verse. God, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But God have come that you may have life and have it more. And so I passed out the sandwiches. I had goodie bags. I had a toothbrush in there, some chapstick, and I did a first aid kit, and I passed them out. So my next step is to get my food ministry, my food permit, so I can cook and do my own food, you know.
Yes.
So that's it, and God is good.
God is good.
Be that woman.
Yes,
praise the Lord.
Yes,
sister.
Yes,
God
bless
you. Hi, good afternoon. I'm a little nervous, but I had a car accident 3 months ago today. You know, just drinking under the influence. Had surgery, broke my neck. Things should have gone very, very bad that night. But I'm here, walking, back at work, back driving. I got invited here by some cousins, Gracie, Rosa, and ever since I got invited, I was in my next place still. And just God touched my heart, and I'm blessed, and you know, I just feel like home being here, so I just want to thank everybody and all the support, and just thank y'all.
Amen. What's your name?
Amen. Leslie. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a powerful testimony. Amen.
Amen. Actually, we got one.
Amen. Come on up, sister.
I know y'all see me plenty of times, but I was asleep. I was telling Lonnie, I didn't go to church. Trying to look for a place to go. We live with his mom. I don't feel right. Not, like Petra said, don't be married. I think come to the church that I love. That I've been to a lot of churches that I wasn't. That so when she come back in, she has to leave. And I know y'all not like that. And I just thank God that I'm here. My son passed me when I had an accident, slipping and driving, no sleep. And I was the only one got banged up. So I moved back, I'm keeping on going back. But he needs prayer because he has an angry issue towards me. He pushed on my shoulder, yelled at me, and I tried to get him to come to church today, but he was trying to find excuses to come. I said, well, I'm going to go, find me a way. I said, I need to find me a way. I get on my phone, I look for y'all's phone number, and I said, I need to come to church.
Amen.
And I want to see God do that, but I'm coming. But I'm glad I'm back in church where I need to belong to.
Glory
to
the Lord.
One more thing, and I'll dismiss us. But if you've been coming to the church, you've been coming to the church for a while, and you say, you know what, I want to be a part of this church. I want to be a member of the church. I want to pray for you. If that's you, amen. If that's you, I want you to come on stage with me. If you've been coming, I know forever it is. But if you say, you know, I want to be part. I want to be a member of the church. I want to pray for you. Come on stage. Come on. I pray for you. Come on, give him a hand, church. Give him a hand. You want to be a member of the church. We don't usually do this, but we know sometimes we get asked to do this a lot. We
And so we want to give you an opportunity. Amen. If you feel, you know what, this, I want this to be my church, my home church. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to pray for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to ask some of the leaders to come up and pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, look at this church. Beautiful church growth. Amen. For those of you that came, listen, look at me real quick. I want you to know that we love you here at Victory Arch Grand Prairie. And we're so glad that you're part of our family. Amen. This is your spiritual family now. Amen. And God has a great plan for your life. He has a plan for our church. And you're a part of that plan. And I see some of you already serving in ministry. Amen. My brother this morning is his first time being an usher. Last week he said, I want to do something. I want to serve. This week. He said he's serving. He's an usher. Amen. What was his name?
Carey.
Amen. Brother Carey. Amen. And so we welcome Brother Carey. Amen. Amen. And then it's good to see my brother. Come on, down.
Eric.
We've been coming for a while, right? Eric. And good to see Eric. Our home. Amen. Praise the Lord. And just everybody here. Amen. But church, stretch your hands. Amen. Lay hands on them. Leaders. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up our family to you, God. We thank you for them, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for bringing them here, God. I pray that they will allow their roots to run down deep. Let them bloom where they've been planted. Let them flourish in the house of God. Father, you have brought them here, God, and you've given them a new spiritual family, Father. And I pray, God, that the whole church, that they would see them and that they would love on them, that they would call them, that they would text them, that they would get to know them, that they would get plugged into the ministry, Father God. Father, I pray, Father, Lord, that you would just touch their lives, Father God, as we pray them into the church, God. Lord, in Jesus' name, God. Lord, we thank you for them, God. We thank you for bringing them, God. We thank you for saving them, God. We thank you, Lord, for their testimony, God. We thank you, God, that they came in seeking, God, hurting, God. But, Lord, you have healed them, Father God. And, Lord, we pray that you would continue to heal them, Father God. We pray that you would continue to answer their prayer, Father God. Lord, bless them, I pray, God, as we pray them into the church, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Come on, leaders, give them a hug, amen. Welcome them, amen. Praise the Lord to the house of the Lord, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You consider yourself dismissed. Let's get the lights on. Ushers in the back, the main lights, amen. We'll see you tonight at 5 o'clock for the worship concert. They're sending food, I believe, outside. If you want to grab yourself a plate, I think it smells like pozole, amen. Or I don't know what it is, amen, but you can grab it if you like. God bless you, amen. We love you. Oh, yeah, we got some birthdays in the house. Brother Gilbert and Brother Ricky Staggs. Let's sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
God bless you guys, amen.
We'll be right back.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I'm taking his car, but...